Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin by following up on yesterday's conversation with Simon Johnson, the former chief economist at the IMF, who called the jobs bill now before the Senate a colossal mistake of historic proportions. The former chief prosecutor of the savings and loan banksters, William K. Black, joins us to detail the disastrous deregulation in this bipartisan bill. He has an article at the Huffington Post, "The Jobs Act is so criminogenic that it guarantees full-time jobs for criminologists." Then we'll look into the apparent murder of a 17-year-old boy by a wannabe cop who was sanctioned by Florida law to carry a concealed weapon with which he killed the unarmed victim. But because of another Florida law, the Stand Your Ground law, the perpetrator is able to blame the victim and has so far not been charged with a crime. Ken Adams, a professor of criminal justice at the University of Central Florida in Orlando, which is nearby to the scene of the crime, will explain how imagining that a crime is taking place can justify homicide. Then finally, Nancy Cohen joins us in the studio. She is the author of Delirium, How the Sexual Counter-Revolution is Polarizing America. We will discuss her groundbreaking investigation into the shadow movement that fuels our political wars and the current war on women that Republican presidential candidates, Republican state legislatures, and the Republican House are waging. I'm now joined by William K. Black, who is the former litigation director of the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, who investigated the savings and loans disasters of the 1980s. Currently is a professor of economics and law at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. He was the executive director of the Institute for Fraud Prevention from 2005 to 2007, and is the author of the best-selling book, The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. He has an article at the Huffington Post, "The Jobs Act is so criminogenic that it guarantees full-time employment for criminologists." Welcome to Background Briefing, William K. Black.
Thank you.
And yesterday I spoke with the former chief economist for the IMF, Simon Johnson, who calls the jobs bill a colossal mistake of historic proportions. You have, since you have a background in prosecuting bank fraud, you're warning in your article in the Huffington Post that this is, well, you're basically saying you've never seen anything like this. This is open season. This bill's an atrocity.
Yes, they call it an atrocity, and it's not just me. We have on it Gil Geis, who is the greatest living white-collar criminologist in America. Henry Pontel, his colleague at UC Irvine, who is certainly one of the top five criminologists in America. Lynn Stout, a fabulous professor, and experts in the field of finance, Barry Ritholtz and Ms. Tavolacki. So a whole group of folks realize that this is the wish list of all of the frauds brought forward. This thing was a feeding frenzy once it got to Congress of lobbyists trying to add just horrific provision after horrific provision, all with the cynicism of calling this a jobs bill. This bill will destroy millions of jobs. It will not create any jobs.
And of course, JOBS is an acronym for Jumpstart Our Business Startups Act. And its proponents are largely the stock exchange, venture capital groups, biotech startups, investment banks, and the same bottom feeders that encouraged the payday loans. Against it, though, are the current and former chairman of the Security, along with yourself, Bill Black, and the others that you mentioned, the current and former chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Association of State Security Regulators, AARP, the Consumer Federation of America, the AFL-CIO, and other unions and several big pension funds and many prominent security experts. However, it passed the House with only 25 Democrat votes against it, with the help of the White House, I might add. And now they're trying to fast-track it through the Senate, all in the name of bipartisanship. And it won't be long before the president will have a photo opportunity hailing bipartisanship in creating jobs.
Yes, and it's a grand kumbaya moment, and they're all very proud of themselves, and they all know that it is a complete lie, but it's a political season. and they all stand to benefit from it personally. So back up a step. Everybody that has any expertise in dealing with fraud opposes this bill and opposes it in the strongest possible terms. Everybody that represents consumer and investor interests opposes this bill. This bill is supposedly for investors, right? And for consumers and getting jobs. All the people that represent the workers oppose this bill. What you're seeing is how dominant finance has been made by the Citizens United decision. That one industry can now, after a track record of complete disaster through fraud, fraud after fraud after fraud in many different contexts, in the origination of the mortgages, in the sale of the mortgages, in the sale of the derivative toxic waste, and then in the foreclosure process. And case after case and investigation after investigation has documented the pervasive fraud by the elite investment bankers. And what is their answer to the problem of fraud? More fraud.
Well, but the MO is the same as the MO that led up to the savings and loan crash, and that is the deregulation of the Glass-Steagall protections that were in there since the 1930s. These protections that they're stripping out in the name of jobs and freeing, unshackling the entrepreneurs we're going to go back to the 1920s, right?
Yes, and people need to know that the golden era for the United States was under effective securities regulation. Securities regulation began just over 100 years ago in Kansas with the Blue Sky Laws. And when the first state entities to deal with securities fraud were created and they reviewed securities filings, they found every single one of them was fraudulent. Go forward in time. The United States adopts an effective Securities and Exchange Commission, and it becomes, in many ways, the most effective federal regulatory body for many years. What did we learn as economists? We learned that U.S. equities, in other words, stocks, traded at a substantial premium over the stocks of any other country. Why? Because people trusted the United States stocks far more because we had effective regulation. That was good for honest companies. That was good for investors. That was good for our economy. And then a bunch of theoclassical economists who literally, I'm going to quote them, a rule against fraud is not essential or even particularly important in securities. That was the insanity that they believed, which is contrary to all human experience.
Well,
they destroyed regulation, and they produced not just one crisis, the savings and loan crisis, but then the Enron-era crisis, and then this crisis that have cost the household sector over $11 trillion, has cost Americans at least 8 million jobs of ones lost and not created, and in Europe and elsewhere in the world, another 12 to 20 million jobs. So fraud is the great engine of mass destruction of wealth, of economy, of communities, and of jobs, and that's what these people have brought. And it is disgusting. They should be ashamed. They should be driven from office with this kumbaya stuff as they celebrate turning America over to the thieves.
Again, I'm speaking with William K. Black, as a former litigation director of the Federal Loan Bank Board, who investigated the savings and loan disasters of the 1980s. And he was the director of the Institute for Fraud Prevention from 2005 to 2007. And Harry Reid is pushing this, the Senate Majority Leader, as is Senator Chuck Schumer, so is the President. Part of the bill, of course, this so-called Jobs Act is going to strip out and undo the safeguards that were put in the Sarbanes-Oxley law that was a response to the Enron and the WorldCom disasters. So this is the triumph for the banking lobby. They undid Glass-Steagall, and we got the savings and loan disaster, but they've all been made whole thanks to the taxpayer. And now there's this little impediment that came out because of Enron and these other frauds like WorldCom, and now they're getting rid of that. And and all of our top politicians are celebrating. And what's particularly cynical about this is Harry Reid is fast-tracking this bill, and he has he's going to allow the Democrats who oppose it to have a vote. But that vote will have to be go to the 60 votes filibuster level. So that way they know it won't pass, but they get political cover.
Yeah, it is shameful what is being done, and it's being done by both parties. And there, you know, there isn't really even an articulated cause on the other side. Here is their explanation for why we need to do this. There is a regulatory race to the bottom. If we don't do this, then the City of London will do it. And then the fraudulent investor groups, you know, trying to defraud people, will move to the City of London. Now, A, that would be a great thing for America if it happened. But B, it's not going to happen because of our capital markets are so much broader than in the City of London. C, remember, these are the same folks pushing this, the Chamber of Commerce, who, what is their reaction every single time when a manufacturing plant closes in America and reopens in China? They say, that's fine, that's how the world is supposed to work. As soon as it's a finance firm that might move, no, the heavens will fall if that will happen. Think of this. The name is regulatory race to the bottom. If you engage in the race, by definition, you lose. So the only possible answer is not to engage in the race to the bottom, to fight for honesty.
Well, it sounds, though, like this bill is going to open up a whole new avenue to stock offerings. They're going to happen over the internet. And
yes,
and I get the feeling that we're going to end up with, you know, you see all those ads on the internet, and Rush Limbaugh used to have them on, what's his name? Glenn Beck used to have them on his TV show all the time, of these shysters selling gold coins and other ridiculous, rip-offs. Aren't they going to be selling stocks and offering up IPOs online now?
That is their goal. The proponents of the bill want to take something that we know is a leading tactic of pump and dump frauds, where you, as you say, on the web, pump it up with all this phony publicity that's easy to generate because of the way emails work in the modern era. You bring in the victims that boost the shares, and then the people running the fraud sell, and the victims are left with disastrous losses. That is a pure fraud mechanism. They call it cloud fundraising. And it will be a disaster. Everybody knows it will be a disaster. I don't think well of Congress, and I don't think particularly well of the Obama administration in the financial sphere. But I could not believe when I read these provisions that they had become this bad and that virtually no one in Congress would fight it.
Well, yeah, Carl Levin's, I think, fought it in the Senate. But as I mentioned, only 25 Democrats voted against it in the House bill. And it looks like, because of the procedural games that Harry Reid's are playing, that they will eventually vote on the House bill, but they'll give the dissenters in the Senate cover by voting amendments that won't pass because of the 60-vote threshold.
That's correct. And unless we hold those people accountable for that cynicism, and the administration, which is organizing this with Senator Reid, there is going to be every incentive for them to continue to do it. The disaster will come later. It'll come, you know, later in Obama's next term if he's reelected. But he doesn't care. He'll be reelected. That's his concern now, entirely, reelection.
And this is all to do with the blackmail that the banking lobby have, that, you know, if, unless you give us everything we want, we won't give you any money. And we're already giving most of our money to Romney at any rate. What's the chances of Obama getting any payback from, I mean?
No, this is a stupid deal from his standpoint as well. But it's a measure of the fact that politics and the search for financing trumps everything. There are no principles left, because this one is so far beyond the pale. He could not have had an honest briefing, although people need to demand that. Who in the administration recommended this bill? Who was involved in the drafting of the administration? Who signed off on these pump-and-dump schemes, these obvious fraud mechanisms? You know, if we can't hold the, you know, everyone accountable, let's start holding the people accountable who at least were used as the tools, and then hold the more powerful folks, accountable when we can in elections.
Is this Cass Sunstein's work? Who do you know who's doing this, or would it be you'd have to?
This is the. This actually is bipartisan in the sense of they simply opened it up to the lobbyists.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the Chamber of Commerce, is what you're seeing. Their wish list, ever since passage of Sarbanes-Oxley, has been to gut Sarbanes-Oxley. Their other announced priority, by the way, is to gut the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, so we can go back to bribing foreign heads of state with impunity.
On the basis that the other countries have the advantage of being able to bribe the Saudis and sell their weapons ahead of us, you know.
That's right. So it's, again, the competition and laxity, mm-hmm. the race to the bottom, and, you know, everybody loses under this dynamic. Regulation is destroyed, integrity is destroyed, fraud rises, unemployment surges. This is a massive, this is the largest threat to jobs in America. And they are calling it a jobs bill. That is how disgustingly hypocritical they are.
Well, look what's happening with how the American consumer is being ripped off at the gas pump, and everything in the media are these fairy tales that they tell about all kinds of reasons why it has nothing to do with speculation on Wall Street, when it has everything to do with speculation on Wall Street. I've spoken to Michael Greenberger, formerly with the Commodity Future Trading Commission, Fidel Geit, considered the leading expert on oil and gas markets. He says a third of the price is due to speculation.
Here's the proof is the pudding. And what did the House of Representatives insist on doing under the Republicans as a top priority? And that was cutting back on the Commodities Future Trading Commission budget, because the CFTC announced that it was going to crack down on precisely this kind of speculative and money rigging, you know, market rigging.
Right. They were going to bring in position limits, and then the big banks like Goldman Sachs had now tied them up in lawsuits.
And what was the last time that this industry got together to crush the Commodities Future Trading Commission? Well, Michael, who you spoke to and who is superb, could tell you about it firsthand. And you can, of course, anyone of your listeners can see online for free the warning. The last time was the passage of the Commodities Future Modernization Act, which immunized, under the same race to the bottom logic, that we had to out-compete the City of London for weakness. It immunized from all regulation credit default swaps.
Right, and that was when they fired Brooksley Bourne, because she was the head of the CTFC who was warning against and trying to fight and stop it, right?
Yeah, they didn't fire her.
No, they didn't fire her.
When they passed a statute that said, not only can you not pass a particular regulation that you're considering that would regulate credit default swaps, we now withdraw all statutory authority to regulate them. And that law is a eerily foreshadows the current act, the Jobs Act, because that law, the Commodities Future Modernization Act of 2000, explicitly exempts credit default swaps from the operation of state bucket shop laws. Bucket shops are fraudulent securities sales. Can you imagine passing a law at the federal level immunizing fraud? That's what we've come to in America.
Well, William K. Black, I thank you very much for joining us here and filling us in on what's in this bill that's before the Senate. And I guess people should be calling the White House and demanding that they do what you suggested.
And every member of the congressional delegation.
Again, I thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with William K. Black, who's the former litigation director of the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, who investigated the savings and loan disasters of the 1980s. Currently, he's a professor of economics and law at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. He was the executive director of the Institute for Fraud Prevention from 2005 to 2007 and is the author of the best-selling book, The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. He has an article at the Huffington Post, The Jobs Act is so criminogenic that it guarantees full-time employment for criminologists. And we're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back in a moment talking about how it was that a wannabe cop could imagine somebody was about to commit a crime, kill them in cold blood, and get away with murder.